The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And welcome in another day, and we really appreciate you being here on a Tuesday afternoon. We have a lot to do today, and we appreciate you just sitting right there. We're going to get to your phone calls in a moment at 855-242-7285. Let's get to some headlines right now that perhaps you may have missed overnight. And what about this? This is good news. Alabama plans for full capacity for the upcoming fall. And you can add pretty much every other school in there as well, as we seem to be looking toward the fall much differently than we were in a similar situation last March. Wow, a lot has changed. Scott Strickland tweeting out, my sense is all schools teams are planning for full stadiums. Question is, will healthcare guidance allow for it? Based on what I'm hearing from epidemiologists and virologists, there is optimism, and there certainly is. With the third vaccine now being distributed just moments ago, that happened. There's a lot of optimism about what is ahead, maybe even sooner than the fall. Meanwhile, it seems like we see this headline every day, another coach heading to the Alabama staff. That's what happens when you have massive turnover on a national championship staff. Ex-Louisville coach Ron Cooper, another former head coach joining Nick Saban's staff. Two NFL head coaches, a number of college head coaches, and that looks like a really nice staff under Nick Saban. Meanwhile, in the ACC, one of the best players in the ACC is saying, you know what, I'm leaving. Darian Kendrick is no longer with the Tigers. He was an all-ACC cornerback. Wish him well. This happened on Sunday, and people in Texas are still celebrating. How about that? Texas A&M knocks off South Carolina, wins its first regular season title. Now, don't forget, they won that's in the SEC. They did win a national championship a number of years ago. And we are going to talk to the head coach in just a few minutes. But the SEC women's tournament starting tomorrow. And these are the seed projections for the NCAA tournament. Two number ones from the SEC, Georgia at 3, Tennessee 4, Arkansas 4, Kentucky 5, Bama 7, Mississippi State, Ole Miss on the bubble in the men's, on the bubble in the women's. Gary Blair will join us in about an hour. What a great guest he has been throughout the years, and we look forward to talking to Coach in just a few minutes. This happened yesterday as we were coming on the air, and it's worth repeating again today. The Razorbacks are number one in the country. They played for the College World Series title a couple years ago. Missed winning by that much. But here they are, and if this looks like the SEC rankings, it's not. These are the national rankings. Arkansas 1, Vandy Boys 2, State 3, Ole Miss 4, Florida 6th, LSU 11th, Carolina 14, Tennessee 18, top four from the same conference. Has it ever happened? Yes, it has happened. March 23rd, 2015, SEC again. Dave Van Horn rejoins the program in exactly 3 hours, and we look forward to that. We got a lot else to do today, and we look forward to talking to you as well at 855-242-7285. That is 855-242-7285. The guests will start popping in here very soon. In the meantime, let's get to the calls. And who better to start with than Hugh from Deep Gap, North Carolina.
Good afternoon, Paul. Have you had your COVID shots?
No, but how have you? I'm assuming you have.
I had my first one. I've got the, and it was good. No problem. It was the deep freeze one. I get my second one on the 19th. Some people have had a little reaction. I think old fat guys do better than skinny little ones.
Now you're really scaring me, Hugh.
Well, I didn't mean to do that, honey. I got something serious I want to talk to you about. Last October, Coach Saban made a pronouncement that was sort of monumental in that in its truth and how well thought out it was. And I'm sure you remember him talking about the fact that any football team playing college football that couldn't horizontally and vertically stretch the field with a passing game was not playing a competitive game in today's college football world.
Right.
I'm sure you remember him making that statement. And I think he was exactly right. A very similar thing has happened in basketball that we're not talking about as much. In the spring of 2009, John Calipari had what most people figured to be one of the best assemblages of freshman talent since the Fab Five at Michigan. And unfortunately, the coach at West Virginia had a different plan for him and knocked him out early. But that was not the story of the tournament. There was a kid playing at Davidson that lit up the NCAA through the quarterfinals with a basketball exhibition like we haven't seen since Pete Maravich.
Right.
And he went on to be the number 7 pick for the Warriors, and he has actually revolutionized the game of basketball. Paul, here's the truth of it. The dribble drive offense to go to the paint and either put it up or lob it up is very yesterday. If you don't have a 3-point game on the perimeter, you are not going to be effective in today's college basketball. And that brings us to the current Kentucky team. Calipari's been great for Kentucky as a lifetime contract. He's much loved. He could be more popular than the governor. But there's no way around this. If you cook the meal and bought the groceries and it turns out not to be uneatable, you don't have to look too far for who to blame. The problem is John Calipari has wound up with a point guard-oriented offense, and he doesn't have a point guard. And he has got some kids on that team that could play much better than what they have done if they were in a two-guard type front with Allen and Mintz out front putting up threes, Jackson working a high post, and any one of two or three kids working on the baseline, I think they'd have a lot better luck. In some ways, Adolph Rupp and Dean Smith knew a lot about basketball and running high post, and I think the ability that Rupp and Dean Smith had with outside shooters would hold up well today. I think that's the nemesis that Cal is dealing with. He's been blessed with great point guards. He's got a kid that ought to be in high school. He's too young and immature and short of what is necessary to be able to get it done for Kentucky. It's hard for me to watch. I've been a fan of Kentucky for more than 50 years. The first team I watched play was Hagan and Ramsey.
Oh, wow.
As a kid scouting and seating people in 54. This, without question, is the worst team I've ever seen Kentucky put on the field, on the floor. And hopefully it'll get better. It has to. With that, I'll give it up. I just think we need to pay credence to Coach Oates and the various coaches like at Arkansas that are hip to what's going on in today's world. And I will say the coach at Florida is dead on top of it. We have a wealth of great coaches in the Southeastern Conference. Unfortunately, this year, there are three teams in the Big Ten that can beat all of them. So I'm going to watch it, and I'm going to root for the Southeastern Conference, but I don't have much hopes. I'll talk to you later, Paul.
You always good. Glad to hear you got your shot, and I hope you continue to do well with it. Let's check in with Mac in Baltimore. Hey, Mac.
How you doing, Paul? Happy March.
Thank you. Great to have made it.
I know. Seems like just yesterday we weren't in a pandemic. But that's not what I want to talk to you about. I just want to talk about basketball. I want to talk about March Madness in general, but you know, after listening to Hugh for a little bit, I have to disagree. I think there's probably around 6 teams in the Big Ten that could beat any SEC team. That's not, neither here nor there, and I'm being generous with 6. But I kind of want to talk about how he was talking about, like, the evolution of the game with Steph Curry and three-point shooting, which is obviously a true thing. I mean, when that guy started watching basketball, there was no three-point line in 54. So kind of – but the thing that always doesn't make sense to me is just the idea of the dribble-drive offense. You know, like, in basketball forever, there's been a staple where it's not an offense. It's just a piece of every offense where if you can get past your defender, collapse the D – people are going to be open up on the outside, and then you can just kick it to whoever is open based on the rotation of the defense. To me, that's not an offense. That's just a smart play. That the dribble drive is kind of woven into every offense, whether it be a pick and roll or Princeton or a zone offense that you're trying to go up against. But the dribble drive is just a staple. It's like a layup. It's like the crossover dribble. I just kind of wanted to get a little bit more. Maybe you could just explain to me more kind of the in and outs of this dribble drive offense.
That's a great question, and I'm going to let somebody who can explain it much better than I can do that for you, Mac. Mac, stay right there. Don't go anywhere. We have a lot to do today, including a couple of a basketball coach, a baseball coach, an analysis of where we are with the Supreme Court and player rights. Busy show. We hope you'll stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We welcome you back. Great to have you here on a Tuesday afternoon. Our first guest will be dropping by shortly. Until then, more of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Phil is in Nashville. Good afternoon, Phil.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. I was eating some lunch with my buddies this afternoon, and we was talking. Was wondering, do you know what if T. Martin got a job somewhere else? You know, he was at Tennessee, and after they had the clean out up at the new coaches and stuff. I just wondered, do you know, is he landed somewhere else, or do you know? And I'll hang up and wait for your response.
Yeah, he did. I'm trying to remember, where did he go? I think he went to the Ravens. I'll double check on that, but I'm pretty sure he went to the NFL. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. A great deal. Stacy is up next in Georgia. Hey, Stacy, you're on the air.
Hey, Paul, how are you? I was just tuning in on your show. I'm a first-time caller, and I want to tell you how much I enjoy.
Thank you.
You know, watching you every afternoon. The question I want to ask, Paul, I just saw that you said that Alabama is going to open up to full capacity during the upcoming football season. And my thing is, I know other teams are going to follow through that. Is that safe enough?
Yeah, I think everyone is going to do that. Now, I think what you're talking about, Stacy, and Scott Strickland made the stipulation, it will depend on local guidelines. But, short of everything going the wrong way, I don't think it will even be a close call right now.
Well, I mean, I know people like to gather, and I miss tailgating, Paul. That's one of the things my boys and I, it's a tradition for us. And, this football season, like many others around the country, I spent a lot of Saturdays on the sofa.
Right. Yeah, no, it was the whole week, the whole football season in some ways was a blur because even though the games were good and sometimes great, we all did things we have not done in forever. Or didn't do things we had done in forever.
Yeah. Well, Paul, I'm excited, though, about the upcoming football season because we kick off against Clemson.
Oh, yeah.
And my thing is, man, I just want everybody to be safe, and thank you for everything that you do for us.
Thank you very much. Great to hear from you. And, yeah, listen, you know, it is March 2nd, so people are making projections. But if you look at where we are right now versus where we were 50 weeks ago when we were all home and trying to figure out whether we'd ever get outside again, we're in a pretty good shape. We're in a pretty good place right now. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check in with Ron, who is up next in Alabama. Hey, Ron.
Hey, Paul.
What's up with you?
It's good. It's real good. It's wet and it's damp. Paul, a few weeks ago, beginning of the season,
right?
You and Eli discussed football. The old announcers, the ones that did radio, and it was history, and y'all did it so well, and guys my age, we remember, when radio, that's all we had. You remember, you may not remember John Forney, but John, he was the voice because that's all we had. And you and Eli, just if you would consider, and your hierarchy consider bringing the remaining guys that were doing radio announcer. I still listen to Eli, and it's so much different than TV.
Well, Ron, let me say this. First of all, I appreciate that you're remembering that interview. There is currently a documentary being produced about the golden voices of the SEC. I think it will. I don't know if it's going to be out in time for next fall. I hope it is, and I think there's a reasonable chance it is. But you are right, and nobody's sitting here on a television network disparaging television voices. We talk to these men and women every day, and they're an integral part of what we do. But radio was captivating. Before television, as you said, radio was all people had, and it was a very personal medium. It's still very personal. We're on the radio right now, even though we're also simulcast on television, and it's different. In radio, you're talking to somebody one-on-one, and television, some people are sitting there watching the screen as we speak, but a lot of people are walking around their kitchen or wherever, and it's not quite the same thing as it was in the 50s and 60s and 70s when you were, the family gathered around an old Philco radio listening to a Saturday night game from Tiger Stadium. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check in with Mike in Pennsylvania. Mike, thanks. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing this afternoon?
Mike, we're doing great. Thank you.
No, that's great. Hey, I had a question about kind of want to discuss a little bit about Mac Jones's draft prospects. I saw Mel Kiper had him going, I believe, number 8 to the Panthers,
right,
in his latest mock draft. And I just, there are just some unknowns kind of about him because, he looked spectacular last year. He had the highest QBR since the stat was invented of any college quarterback ever, which is pretty. The second and third were picked number 1 overall. So, statistics pretty telling. Thing is in the NFL, depending on his situation, he's not always going to have great offensive line. He's not I mean, some of those receivers he had at Alabama are, he may have a less talented receiving core, depending on what team picks him. And I just think he, you know, that doesn't mean he can't, you know.
Yeah, yeah, Mike, we had Mel on the other day, and he alluded to Mac. I would be surprised if Mac went that high. I don't think that, because I just don't, first of all, I don't think the Panthers are going to make him the franchise quarterback. They are, they're trying desperately to get Deshaun Watson and, you know, and willing to trade half the team for him. So I thought that was an interesting selection by Mel, but I can assure you he knows more about it than I do. We are heading to a break. We appreciate you being here. Many guests will start dropping by here. I mentioned Coach Blair at the top of the next hour, fresh off the winning the SEC women's title. L. Duncan will join us in a moment, and we are really looking forward to talking to one of our favorite guests over the last couple of years. That after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
The guests are ready to roll here, and I can't tell you how excited we are to welcome back to the program L. Duncan, who is, I think she's joining. There she is. L, first of all, we've been missing you, and we now find, we now know you're back, and you're another mom. You're a mom again. Congratulations.
I am another mom. Thank you, Paul. I've missed you. I've missed talking to your wonderful audience. But I'm really glad to. It's funny, Paul, because people keep asking me, like, how do you feel? Do you feel ready to come back to work? And it was really like sort of my husband that gave me a dose of perspective, because I had ordered another outfit that I was calling athletic wear. I was calling it leisure wear. And he was like, sweetie, that's just pajamas. They're matching pajamas. I was like, no, it's an outfit that matches. But he was like, babe, those are just pajamas. And so I was going out in public wearing pajamas. And I think that was the point where I realized I need to have some sense of purpose besides just taking care of these children. So I'm really ready to be back at work.
Well, I've met your husband, and I would never tell anyone, you know, how to plan their life out. But I wish I had had a baby over the last year, because you got away from this craziness just in time, and now you're back, and the world seems to be returning to some sense of normalcy as we approach the 1 year anniversary of the pandemic.
Yeah, honestly, Paul, it wasn't like the worst time to be pregnant because we sort of just stayed at home anyway, right? So it wasn't terrible. I feel like there's going to be a lot of coronials that are going to come out of this pandemic, like a whole generation of kids that were brought about because there was literally nothing else to do. So, yeah, we're ready, and we're hopefully a couple of months away from getting vaccinated and really cranking this thing up.
You've had a pretty amazing year. I mean, even going back to a little more than a year ago, your incredible moment about Kobe Bryant went viral, and you were so much in the mainstream conversation during the aftermath of George Floyd and so many things that, you know, you're a sports center anchor. I know you. And that would be ridiculous to say you're just anything, because you're not. But aside from having another child, if there could be such a thing as an aside, what was that time like when, I mean, you were suddenly thrust into a gargantuan audience, even beyond what's normally a massive audience that watched you or has continued to watch you on SportsCenter?
It was interesting, Paul, because, I mean, as you know, I joined your show, and I thought we had a really great conversation that a lot of people seemed to resonate with a lot of people. I just think that It was so necessary. It was like this perfect storm of there being no sports, so taking that away from people as sort of their excuse, like this idea that I just want the distraction of sports. So there was none of that. Everyone was at home. We were in a global pandemic, and we had seen three atrocious examples of simply trying to exist while being black, right? And between Ahmaud Arbery and Breonna Taylor and then George Floyd. And it felt like it was the time for all of us that had any sort of platform to be empowered and emboldened to speak out and to try and share our experiences. And I know that, you know, I talked a little bit about what happened to me in Boston, and it sparked a whole other conversation. I've never really been afraid to obviously give my opinion, which isn't always the most welcome or warranted in some people's minds. But I just, it was a tumultuous time for me just because I was pregnant. And there are studies that tell you that, like, happy pregnant women have happy, calm babies. And I'm going through this. I'm experiencing so much emotion anyway. I find out that I'm having a little black boy. I'm watching, you know, this country really come to a reckoning and try to understand what it's like for black people. And it was a very difficult time, frankly, you know, not personally or professionally so much as just internally as a mom, trying to measure what I felt like was important and not running away from tough subjects, but also trying to manage my own mental health, because that was the most important thing to me. Like, this child, I can't be so stressed. I'm a very emotional person, and I am an empath, and I feel things. And so it was tough to sort of figure out. But I feel like I was empowered not only by colleagues like you, Paul, but also by ESPN and by friends and by family to take this opportunity. And, you know, we had forefathers that had to die for people to care. Ahmaud Arbery had to die, and George Floyd had to die. So at the very least, I could give of myself in the smallest way that I could and try to share my experiences and help relate them to other people.
And Ella, I say this because I feel like I can, you know, we have been friends for a while. We mm-hmm. worked together in that studio that's not far from where you're sitting right now. But that day that you came on here, it was really 2 or 3 days after the George Floyd murder. I don't know if I've ever felt more lost in a conversation, but also more energized and more mesmerized, because I there was just nothing I could say. I had nothing to add. I just wanted to sit there and listen to you, and what you did and the reaction was really unprecedented. I think really moved a lot of people that knew you from SportsCenter, but maybe didn't really know you like your friends do.
And I appreciate the opportunity, but you did exactly, Paul, what we were all asking for, is that you wanted to listen. And that's really all that this is about in general, is listening to each other without being prepared to rebut. Like, we sort of live in a space where we are constantly, you know, put in situations where we debate, this is my side, this is your side. You decide which side is right. And when it comes to morality and things that you can't speak on, the most important thing to do is to take an approach of listening. And I just really appreciated the platform, because I know who listens to your show. You know, I know I'm from Georgia. Like, I know sort of your audience, and I know that it might not always be such a welcome topic of conversation. And I thought it was great that you did exactly what I just said. You used your platform for the betterment of all of us. And I really appreciated the opportunity to have that conversation with you, because we chuckle and we yuck it up. You know, you speak to my sarcastic bone. I feel like we're spirit animals, Paul, but it was probably the frankest conversation we've ever had. And I really enjoyed it.
Well, thank you. And I am going to go now to something that we have had more conversations off the air than we have had on the air. And Al, I saw a friend of mine the other, about 2 hours ago. He's a Georgia graduate. He's a Georgia fan. And I said, hey, by the way, we're getting call after call after call here. It looks like the dogs are going to take it all next year. And he just said, leave me alone. I've been down this road before. I say that because we always love your perspective on football, especially Georgia football, because you I don't want to call you a long-suffering Georgia fan, because you're still pretty young, but that if you were born after 1980,
exactly,
you're a long-suffering Georgia fan.
Yes, and I was 83. Okay, so I never saw Herschel in person. No, yeah, no, that's me, long-suffering fan. Yeah, Paul. Yeah. it's funny because I was you were playing Kirby, and I had to like watch my face. I was like, I don't know if I'm on TV right now, so let me man my face that I'm making right now. I'm having this weird, and I always ask you, Paul, like, how should I feel? I'm having this weird thing with Kirby right now. It's like, the best way I can put it is this analogy. You know how you like start dating someone, right? And maybe you start dating someone and like right away they're do something heroic. Like you start dating them and they're like helping foster children or they're saving puppies on the weekend. And so you instantly fall in love because you're like, this person is my person. And then the more you get into the relationship, they just start doing things, right? Like you notice they don't wash their hands after they use the bathroom or they're really messy. It's not enough to break up with them, but it's definitely enough to make you question whether they are your soulmate. And Kirby just keeps making these decisions that are just nonsensical to me. You know, like he will forever sort of be brought up in the Justin Fields, you know, Jake Fromm over Justin Fields conversation. But then instead of sort of learning his lesson, he does it again. And I'm by no means comparing JT Daniels to Justin Fields, but like, didn't we all know Stetson didn't have it? I just don't understand what information he's using to make these decisions. And it's maddening. I love that we're in the conversation, Paul, every year, but some of these decisions Kirby's making are just the luster, I think, for some Georgia fans is starting to wear off a little bit. Like, this sheen is not quite as pristine as it used to be when he was saving kittens from trees. I don't know.
Your preamble there to dating needs to be clipped and be the treatment for a new sitcom, I swear. But what's the other side of that though, Elle, is the Georgia fans, and I know you're one of them, but a lot of the ones that we're hearing are buying right into it, and I don't know how many times this has happened. And maybe this is the time. Maybe this is the time that Kirby slays Nick Saban and leaves him on the field for Uga to trample over and use as a fire hydrant. But I don't know. You're making me wonder because I was all ready to go along with some of our analysts to pick Georgia number one.
But Paul, how many times choosing Georgia to do anything is just like the same people that every year say this is the year Tom Brady's going to fall off the cliff. What has he shown you to lead you to believe that anything's going to be any different, Paul? Like, how many times? Shame me. Like, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice. Fool me how many frickin' times? I love David Pollack. He says to me at the beginning of last year, you watch them dogs this year. Watch them do what, David? Year before. Okay, this is the year. Every single year. And it's not, I'm not even going to put that on Kirby. There's just like, my husband has a theory, and I think that you can appreciate this, Paul. And this is a real theory that he's thrown out as a long-suffering Falcons fan, Hawks fan, Braves fan, Bulldog. He thinks, this is how bad it's gotten for us, he actually thinks that Georgia, the state of Georgia, is still being cursed by General Sherman because of Civil War. We are still being punished for that, and as such, we'll never win anything. And I'm starting to believe that. And that's where I'm at, Paul. That's where I'm at. I'm at the point where Anthony Edwards to me is like the preeminent Georgia star. I'm going basketball at UGA because I am so tired of being burned. And think about it. Like, the things that have happened to UGA and to Georgia sports in general, why would anybody foolishly think that we are going to do anything? Why? Exactly, Paul.
We have a year's worth of programming off of this segment, and we never want to.
Sherman's not done burning us down, Paul. He's still burning the state of Georgia.
I've got Clark Gable and Vivian Leon on the other television. We're ready to rewatch Gone with the Wind. Elle, thank you so much. Congratulations.
I love you, Paul.
Do we ever miss seeing you? See you soon, hopefully. Wow. You never know what you're getting with her. Wow, that was amazing. Thanks so much for joining us, Elle. And we are heading to a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Gary Blair from Aggie Land coming up here in just a few minutes.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
We welcome you back, and Eugene is up next in Georgia. Good afternoon, Eugene.
Hey, Paul. I'm enjoying your show so much, as usual.
Thank you.
Thank you for taking my call. Paul, I just want to disagree with your last guest. I'm not real familiar with her writings. I'm sure she's probably successful, but I don't know what she's got, what kind of bone she needs to pick with Kirby. She made a couple of points about how he had frustrated her, and she mentioned his handling of the Justin Fields situation and his loyalty that he showed to our quarterback, Jake Fromm. In retrospect, you see what a great career Fields had at Ohio State, and the uninitiated might say, why did Kirby not keep him at Georgia? But Fromm had a wonderful season and had claimed the starting quarterback position at Georgia outright and had done beautifully well. And we have to trust our coach, and he had not seen.
Yeah, Eugene, let me jump in here for a second. As a fan, you're under whatever obligation you choose. You don't, as somebody in the media, and she works for ESPN. She's not obligated to do anything other than state her opinion, which is all we wanted. That wasn't even the main reason we had her on. She's a SportsCenter anchor, but she's a Georgia fan in her spare time. Thanks for the call, though. Danny is up next in Georgia. Danny, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I really appreciate what Elle had to say, and I'm actually a big fan of hers. You know, the thing about it is, as a long-suffering Georgia fan, it seems like we are, you know, the old Charlie Brown where Lucy pulls back the football, and you know, Charlie tries to kick it, and that's us every single year. And, you know, I was lucky enough to have season tickets in 1980, and, you know, I'm still waiting for that to happen again. And feel like the football gets pulled back year after year after year.
Well, I will tell you this. I happen to think Kirby Smart is a great coach. I mean, we're splitting hairs here. We're not talking about anything that anything negative. We're just wondering, can he win a national championship? That is the debate, and that is the conversation. Let's see if we can squeeze one more in here quickly. And Georgia is up next in Georgia is up next in South Carolina. Hey, George.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Hey there.
I got a quick question. South Carolina was just put on probation for, I believe, one of their old basketball coaches.
Correct.
How long is that probation? How serious is it?
Yeah, I will tell you, I don't think it's very serious. It has something to do with the coach who has nothing any longer in the program. I think it's minor in principle. I think it's a couple of – I can't remember specifically whether it's visits that have already been baked into the cake or not. But in my estimation, it's not a big deal. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. We're heading to the second hour where Gary Blair will join us, the head women's coach at Texas A&M, the SEC champs, and more of your phone calls right after this.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.